What?
Oh. Spoiler.
He was not intended for children. Okay. The oversensitive or self-righteous gas bags right with sticks up their butts.
Spoiler.
This
project is extremely dangerous.
It's because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock.
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast, featuring Matt Starnslord, Carol the Cat,
me,
the Giddy Geeker,
me,
and Tiffany the Technician.
I presume the time is a strict progression of cause to effect, but actually, from a non-linear, non-subjective viewpoint, it's more like a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff.
And now, damn right they shot first.
Woo.
The hosts of Guardians of the Geekery.
Dun, dun, dun. Episode 57, Guardians of the Geekery, with David Brown from Christmastown, McCaddenville. But before we get into that, dun, dun, dun.
We're going to go right into the rapid-fire response round. I'm about to ask you a series of 10 questions.
Okay. Brace yourself.
You can give short phrases or answers. If you do not answer in a certain amount of time, we will answer for you. And
I'm pooping.
Oftentimes, those answers include things like stripper poles.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, if you couldn't live in the U.S., where would you want to live?
England. London.
What are you currently reading? Stripper pole. All right, going on. Wonder Woman or Batgirl?
Batgirl, easily.
Who is your favorite Superman actor?
Brandon Routh.
Acting. What cool new technology
I'm joking.
Tiffany is like, what the hell?
What cool new technology do you want to see next?
Holograms.
Where would you take the TARDIS?
To kill Hitler.
Can't do that. It's a sick right. time.
Right.
What job would you never want to have? The one you have?
No. Waste disposal.
Who scares you? Strippers on a pole. Favorite junk food?
Favorite junk food,
Tasty cakes.
Snickers? Tasty cakes.
Strippers on a pole. Yeah. Okay, if you could join the cast of any show, past or present, ooh, which would it be?
Rebels. Star Wars Rebels.
Okay.
So
you're stuck on a desert
island. For sure.
You know what?
You're stuck on a desert island with a tablet with a solar recharger. What would be your number one book?
Oh, On the Road.
Album? Musical album?
Gotta be Beatles' Greatest Hits.
Movie?
Star Wars.
Game that you can play on a tablet.
Oh, on a tablet.
Or a computer.
I guess...
Solitaire.
No. That's mean. That's terrible.
Well, you have three.
Magic.
Okay. All right, you have survived the rapid fire response round with only two stripper pole answers and one magic solitaire.
Wow.
All right, so David Brown, tell us who the hell you are and what the heck you're doing here.
Well, I am in the gaming industry, sort of. I became a fan of a game called Numenera, and it's a tabletop role-playing game, science fantasy set a billion years in Earth's future. And from that started a podcast known as Transmissions from the Ninth World. We just recorded our, I think, 14th episode.
Oh, wow.
And then from that, I developed a relationship with Monty Cook Games. Monty Cook was one of the lead developers of the third edition of D&D and started his own company based around launching Numenera through a Kickstarter that raised $500,000. And then they later on produced The Strange, the Cypher System rulebook based off of the system used for both of those games, and several other products. So between that and helping start a website that was once called the Ninth World Hub and is now just the Cyphercast Hub.
Spell Cypher for us?
Cypher, C-Y-P-H-E-R.
Okay.
Cyphercast. It's based on the Cypher System, which is the cornerstone for those games. And we got more and more involved with them, helped out at conventions, and started another podcast called Translating the Strange. I meant to say Transmissions from the Ninth World has twice been nominated for an Ennie, which is a gaming award, and Translating the Strange was nominated this year for an Ennie. So I've had three Ennie-nominated podcasts. So
And one of those you were up against what?
Yes, the first one I was up against Mr. Will Wheaton himself. his tabletop was in that category, and we lost to them. It was a great, great thing. So no ill will whatsoever. But,
Will Wheaton!
This year, early in the year, I was asked by Monty Cook Games to become their fan relations coordinator. And basically, I'm leading the group that is known as the Asset Team that does demos of their games. And then, you know, do lots of other support, convention support, helping them find people to do, you know, run games at demos at the conventions. As well as we did some work on... some organized play that they're going to hopefully be doing in the next year or so. So it's been exciting, very exciting. And in addition to all that, we took the podcast I did and the website and kind of built a new thing we call the Cyphercast Network. Cool. And that's our umbrella now for all the Cypher system related product stuff that we do. And this year I launched the Cyphercaster magazine.
Nice.
And we're about to put out our fourth issue of that. We've sold... several hundred copies of each issue, so I'm pretty confident. You know, usually the day or week it comes out, we're up in the top five of the drive-through RPG site. So it's a digital-only magazine, about 40 pages each, and it's a great read. And all the articles support Cypher System games, and it's all fan generated.
And this is not your day job.
No, it's not my day job at
but
all.
But it keeps you very busy.
Keeps me very busy. Yes.
So what is your day job?
I'm actually an IT consultant. I do SharePoint and Microsoft Office 365 support and help companies, you know, launch it successfully.
So. We need to talk. I need some SharePoint advice.
Yeah.
Not like SharePoint. Well, so I'm not. Not really familiar, quite honestly, mm-hmm. with like D&D or any of that. So, mm-hmm. can you kind of tell me what exactly is Cypher?
Sure. Okay.
What does the D and the D stand for?
I know what that is. I at least knew that.
So
hey, Tiffles.
Dumb and Dumber.
The Cypher system is Monty's design, his backbone for a game. He won't talk about it much, but you know he was working on the 5th edition of D&D early on in the process. And I think that what became of the Cypher system was a lot of his ideas for where to take D&D. The Cypher system is a D20-based game, but only the players roll. The DM rolls nothing.
D20 is a dice.
Okay. Yeah, sorry, 20-sided die. Yeah. See, there's all this lingo, but it's a story.
Do you see that look
system?
In her eyes? Yeah, that's not sparkles. That's glazing over. Yeah.
So it's a tabletop role playing game led by a game master who tells the story. The players have their characters that are very easy to build in the Cypher system, but very versatile. And then you basically the great thing about the Cypher system is players can think of anything they want to do. All the GM has to do is tell them how hard it is to do. And then they have skills and ability to kind of make it a little easier if they need to, if it's an important thing. But it's a great system. And so Numenera is based on that. Then they released The Strange by Bruce Cordell and Monty, which is more of a Sliders meets Men in Black meets, you know, it's set in modern world, but there's recursions. There's different worlds you can visit. What's cool about that is you can go to Oz, you can go to Wonderland, you can go to a Western based on, you know, the Western movies, not historical. You know, it's a very cool system to play with. And then they built the Cypher system rule book to have a genericized version of those rule set. So you can play in any setting that you want to. Pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, sounds cool.
Yeah.
In the magazine, Jim Ryan, who we had on the podcast a couple times, our fifth Beatle, he writes for that.
Yep, absolutely.
Beatles is our fifth Beatle.
And Jim's actually the co-host of Transmissions from the Ninth World and has been from since the beginning.
That's right. Yeah, that was so weird. I remember you taking me out to a nondescript location in Weddington. I just can't remember where it was. To play a game, and that's when I met Jim before I met Jim.
Yep.
And then I ran into him at Rebel Base, and then Joey knew him, and so it was just
kind of
this weird
game was kinda... it that you had to be blindfolded to go?
He just doesn't remember where it's at.
I just don't remember. It was night.
It was at Eric's house. It was who was the other?
Oh yes, Eric.
Oh, he's the other co-host for Transmissions from the Night.
So. He was the other guy with a felony now. Yeah. That's for kidnapping. That's all. Yeah.
But you and Starnes Lord here actually have known each other for quite a while.
Yeah, at least 2 years.
Over 20 years.
Oh, 20. 20 is it now? Over 20. Oh, shit. Time flies.
It is. It's
unfortunately, there's not one story to tell. So, thanks for this broadcast. It's completely over.
But wait, Starnes Lord, you told us you were 21.
I met him when he was an infant. Yeah. Held him in my arms, cradled him.
I was in a woven basket.
He suckled at your teeth. Yeah, I get suckled in my arms.
That explains the odd growings of certain things.
Yeah. I heard a rumor about some Olin Mills pictures of the two of you are featured.
Yes, yeah, so we hear about that. We were completely not drunk and decided it would be a kick to get photos for our respective mothers, because we always joked that we were kind of like brothers from other mothers kind of scenario.
Yeah.
And,
so like stepbrothers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we went to Goodwill and bought some clothing.
Lovely clothing.
And then went to Sears with an appointment. And the young ladies working there just could not get over the things we did. And the pictures are quite incriminating. My dad thought that was the last straw, that we really were gay lovers, and this was our way of expressing that.
Heterosexual life mates?
Yes, heterosexual life mates.
Luckily, we convinced them.
Yeah, right. But
I can see jealousy in the geeky.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it was a... It was quite funny.
I was wearing a Spider-Man costume underneath a sports jacket and
a tweed
jeans,
jacket from
tweed from, yeah, from Goodwill that didn't really fit.
And I had on a yellow shirt cuffed up with a old structure sweater vest. And my hair spiked.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, I should probably confess right now that quite early on in Darn Lawrence, you showed it to me.
Yeah.
Soon after, David had shared the link to one of the YouTube videos of you at App U on their TV and radio show.
Yeah, so we did a TV show.
So if
show.
I was ever going to be scared off, that happened like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, it was the picture from that Sears photography session where one of us is on the carousel.
Yeah,
horse.
You were on the carousel.
I was on
the
carousel horse.
And my hand was on the pole on the carousel horse.
Yeah.
Which happened to me. If you just picture where that might be lined up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why David actually had political ambitions at one time in his life, but those were quickly...
They were destroyed. From
destroyed that. From the blackmail. Absolutely. Material. Yeah. And that dossier that is more public. So,
No.
Sorry, okay. Yeah. So the TV show. Yeah.
Right, right. So when we were in college together, that's where we met. And I was in TV production and wanted to do a series... TV show, and we couldn't come up with a concept, and finally said, you know, we're wasting time, we got to do something or else we're just not going to sit around here and talk about it. So, so we came up to decided to do kind of a Dave Letterman-esque talk show, and I had done some work with Matt when he was doing the radio show there, and we thought, well, Matt will be a great host for it. So we like literally walked down the hall of the radio station, pulled him in and to a crowd of people and said, you're going to host a TV show, and he was like, okay. So that did it. And we did 10 episodes in total, and it was was quite a blast. It was fall of 94 to end of 90, or you know, spring of 95, and it was a great show. It's still, for many years after we did it, it was talked about because nobody had really followed up with that for quite some time. I haven't kept up with their
It lived on public access TV,
absolutely.
Which was quite popular at the
time. Because our college station, where they had their own cable network, so in order to get seen outside of just those who lived on campus, we had to give it to public access. So the whole town got to see it. So like Matt would get, you know, people would walk up to him, you know, on the street and Boone and recognize him. But yeah, like for years later, they didn't have any, you know, a lot else, and they would rerun it and stuff. So it was pretty funny.
The town council meeting got canceled. They put on Room 506.
That was the name of the show, Room 506.
Yeah, and it was basically...
And I believe it's you can Google it and find it on YouTube.
Yeah, the first couple of shows.
Unfortunately,
out there.
Yeah, it's out there.
But yeah, Room 506 was my
dorm
room.
Not that I was stalking him or anything, but after I found the first episode, I may have found one or two more.
He continued the stalking tradition.
Yeah. Yes.
But yeah, it was based off his, David's dorm room.
Was Room
506. So that was the set. So it was the bed was where the guests
would
sit.
Yeah, I was an RA, and I actually got permission to get an extra set of dorm room furniture, and we took it to the TV studio and stored it. But then we would set it up, and it looked like a dorm room. So he would sit at a dorm room desk, and then all his guests would sit on a bed made up. I would literally bring my bed cover over for the show.
And didn't it include some of your precious artwork at one point?
Yeah, the first episode I had original Star Wars posters, and the very first episode we were going long. We had to restart, like, I want to say it was 10 times, and Matt was just done with it. And in the middle of the 10th and to be final take of it, the Return of the Jedi poster, the tacky gummy stuff started coming undone, and it kind of fell over on him, and he reached behind it and crumpled it up, and I was behind the camera and he could see me, and I was like
and it pained me not quite as much as David, but pretty close. Being a Star Wars fanatic, too.
And then he realized what he'd done and whose it was, right?
Yeah, it wasn't like one of the extra radio station promo posters I had. It was something good. Yeah. Probably is worth $500 or more.
No, I'm sure it's not.
At least 800. Yeah.
This is sounded like Between Two Ferns before.
Oh yeah. That was a thing. Really? Yeah. I mean,
it was like a David Letterman ripoff, and then just surreal like that.
But I mean, we got big. I mean, we actually had bands come in. We had there were two studios. There's a bigger one and a smaller one. And what we started out doing was we would put the band in the smaller one, and we would actually kind of pre-record that, and then we would come in and do the show. And then when it got to that point, we'd cut to that footage of the band having performed, and we did, you know, multi-camera shoots of both, and it was pretty slick. It was, and then later on we got so slick we actually had the bands in the same room as him and like live, so he would talk and intro them and they were right there. It was a lot of fun. We pushed some envelopes.
When is the reunion happening?
Yeah, right, it is.
May 8th, because Tammy will be there, so.
Yeah, what's funny is I remember David every so often would say, oh, we need to go back and do an episode. And there were some people there we knew still at campus. And then...
Geez, somebody didn't turn the phone off.
And then it got to be like 10 years later, and David mentioned it, and I was like, well, there's nobody there that knows us.
Right.
And then I think in the 15-year mark, it was like, I think professors are dying off at this point. There's like not anybody that can...
We'd walk in and they're like, who the hell are you?
So you guys just want to come in and film?
Actually, I think Dr. Spicer is still there.
Oh, wow. That's good.
He was our advisor. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it would be fun even if it was just for you guys.
Oh, absolutely.
And your friends and family.
Yeah. But it was a blast. We thoroughly enjoyed that time.
But you also live in the town of McAdenville, which is known as Christmastown.
Christmastown, USA. Yes.
Tell us a little bit, as someone who lives there, how your life changes starting around Thanksgiving.
Yeah. So, you're, required to put up lights in our town. And if you're not familiar with North Carolina area, it's a pretty big draw. I mean, I think they said last year we had, estimated 400,000 cars drive through in the space of, you know, December 1st to December 26th. Our town's small. It's just a little over a mile, but the whole town lights up, and there's one main drive, and there's two lanes of traffic, one going one way, one going the other way, and that's the drive. And then on a weekend night, there'll be a 2-3 hour wait to get into town. That's how big it is. But luckily, I'm off the main drag, so that's okay. But it's pretty cool. It's fun, and I got two small kids, so I mean, growing up in a town like that's pretty magical for them. So
when you say that there's lights on these houses, that's not all that's on these houses.
No. And there's trees and lights. I mean, the whole town is lit up. There's a company called Far Yarns who owns a big chunk of land in the town, and they do all the town-based trees. And then everybody does their own home, and then that combined effect is pretty, over the top and beautiful. I mean, it's pretty cool.
And if you take and you park about halfway in, there is you can get cocoa and cider.
There's a bakery and it's open and serve cupcakes and all that type of thing. It's pretty. They're trying to do more. They never want to commercialize it or make it a materialistic thing, but there is some move to make it more of an event to have more options. And what's really increased is the walking traffic, which is great. Well, living there, we can just walk it. So of course, this is our third year. We're getting a little jaded, so.
I've had some friends that we would all meet at the Food Lion right outside of town, park there, and then her dad had a pickup truck, and he put bales of hay in the back, so we'd all sit under there. It's cold when you're going fast, but once you get to town, and then we had all our iPhones, you know, synced, so we could hear the Christmas music. Very so cool.
Yeah,
that was a lot of fun.
Is that restaurant that's in town ever open?
Don't go there.
Okay. Every single time I pass,
it's a good restaurant. It's a good restaurant, but yes, the hours. I wish it was open longer, but yeah.
Then why do you say don't go there?
No. I meant it's a sore subject for me.
Oh, because it's not open. Like,
yeah. Okay. I wish they had better, you know, longer hours. They're a great place. I'm not bashing them at all. I'm on the town planning board. I'm actually the chair of the town planning board, so I'm being very politic.
Absolutely.
Well, we would be happy to host a geeks night if you decided to do something a little bit more structured.
So we could do that.
Absolutely. I just am not good with the whole driving through town with my foot.
Yeah,
on
no, what we do is we have people come to our house before it gets dark and park, and then we all walk it. So it's a lot of fun.
I need a segue.
Well, can you stick around for a night or two so we can record the second podcast and have you on that? Would it be good?
My kids will miss me, but yeah, sure.
Oh, great. Okay. All right. David, why don't you plug your stuff real quick? Any websites you want us to check out?
The only other thing we didn't talk about was the Eastmark. Should we?
Let's do it on the next one.
Okay. Yeah,
absolutely.
Great.
Okay. Any website you want to plug real quick before we?
MontyCookGames.com and the CypherCast Hub.
Monty is spelled MONTE.
Yep.
CookGames.com.
Yeah. No E at the end of Cook, and then the hub.cyphercast.net. That's the social site for people supporting.
Because I say that I'll put those links on the website, and sometimes I do, and sometimes I don't.
She never does.
I do.
All right.
Thank you for listening to Guardians of the Geekery. For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com.
You spoiled that for the next podcast.
Facebook.com/guardiansofthegeekery and on Twitter @CLTGOG. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Pocket Load, and A Day in the Sun by Jens Pilstofka. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International.